This is the Mind Your Own Wellness podcast with Rebecca Castano-Manda. Before we kick off today's Mind Your Own Wellness episode, I would like to mention a disclaimer. This episode and all episodes thereafter are for general information purposes only. I am not a medical practitioner and information discussed is opinion only. Please consult your licensed care practitioner or medical professional for advice as required. Thank you so much for joining us on the first ever episode of Mind Your Own Wellness podcast. I have deliberately chosen to start this episode off smack in the middle of my life, where I am, or at least where I was a couple of years ago. We're going to bounce around a little bit in the podcast, not in this particular episode, but in future episodes, to discuss what happened, what my life was like before the crash, what my life is like right now, and all the amazing people that I've met along the way. And I will be having some incredible powerhouses on the podcast in future episodes, because Mind Your Own Wellness is the whole goal. My whole passion now is to share with women that you have control. Don't let anybody ever tell you what's happening with your mind or with your body or how you're feeling. You know. It's like when someone, if you have children, it's like if someone tries to tell you something is or is not right with your child, and you know in your mind and your soul and everything about you, everything in your being tells you that something isn't right. You need to follow that same instinct with yourself, because that is, I guess, one thing that has saved my life. Now, so what we're going to do, what we're discussing today, forgive the nerves, this is my first ever episode, so I'm kind of winging it a little bit. I wanted to walk you through my crash, because there's a lot of people who are still quite unaware of what happened 4.5 years ago. It's interesting because I was in a major motor vehicle crash and I almost died. And since then, there has been a lot of work that I needed to put in for myself and for my family to stay alive. So it wasn't just a case of going to hospital and they, you know, put a Band-Aid on me and off I went. It's a lifetime of rehabilitation that I now need to accept is going to be my life. And, you know, my whole family has been changed as well. And we're going to go through that as well, what my choosing to live has meant for my family. So my husband and my children especially. So I'm going to walk you through the crash first. Now, this is pretty intense, so I completely appreciate if it gets a bit too real for you. And I will say now that if you've been in a similar situation, or if PTSD is, if you're still undergoing treatment for that, then just be kind to yourself as you listen through. So the crash happened around 4.5 years ago. I don't have a great memory, and honestly, I try my hardest to block most of it out because it is very unpleasant to remember. I was at a roundabout, and I was impacted by a van going faster and not watching what they were doing. So the police report had suggested that this particular individual was texting and driving while they had hit me. Sorry, that was after I had woken up. That was quite hard to hear, that I was in all of this pain in my life had been completely flipped upside down and put in a blender and destroyed piece by piece because a person couldn't put down their phone to drive safely. But yet here we are. So I was hit. I was in that moment. I was hit with such force that I was knocked out of, I was knocked unconscious. And my vehicle was spun out of control at that point. Now, I didn't know any of this. This is information that the witness had provided to myself and my husband after the fact. This particular witness was incredible. I would not be alive if it was not for this person, because they had essentially came to the car after it spun out of control. Now, keeping in mind, when it spun out of control, I was then facing oncoming traffic. And at this particular roundabout, it's not little, it's a big one on the Gold Coast. So people are flying through that sometimes, and I was directly in harm's way. If this individual had not have gotten me out of the car, I have no issue saying for a single second that I most likely would have been killed, because I would have been hit head on and then I would have died. But that did not happen, and this amazing soul grabbed me out of the car and took me to the side of the road. And then he was then the tow truck, and all of the emergency services apparently were on scene to sort of sort out the car. Now, we fast forward a little bit to the ambulance collecting me, and I had come out of my unconscious state, and they were asking me all these questions, and I was so delirious. And I remember saying to the ambulance at the time, and keeping in mind, this is no disrespect to ambulance or paramedics, this is just my perspective of what happened and how I felt, okay? Because obviously I don't have the paramedics, I don't know what my stats were on the day, I don't know that. I just know that I didn't feel safe. So, and because I just got hit by a car, the paramedics had, they were sort of carrying me to, carrying/me walking, you know, like when someone severely injured themselves, but they're not on a stretcher. So I had to walk with two paramedics helping me to the ambulance. And they asked me how I felt. And I said, you know, I've got a ringing in my ear and my entire left side has needles and pins. Or I think I said pins and needles at the time. I don't remember. But I was in a lot of discomfort, a lot of pain, and I just had no idea what was going on. I was told in the ambulance multiple times to calm down, because they couldn't balance my stats, and I was told that it was just a bit of anxiety. So I thought, okay, right, well then that's what it is then. I just need to calm down. And I'm not being sarcastic here. I genuinely believed, okay, I'm perfectly fine. I just need to take a breath and calm down. And I got to the hospital. And I was in emergency. Now, this was probably the very, very beginning of the COVID fiasco. So I was waiting in a wheelchair after being hit by a car, a motor vehicle accident, for approximately 6 to 7 hours. So sitting up vertically with no treatment, no support, nothing. My husband was barely allowed to come and see me because they said there was COVID precautions. So he came in and he was obviously not... he was in shock himself, going, what happened? And I couldn't really explain it because I was just delirious. Anyway, so fast forward about that 6 to 7 hour mark, and I am extremely just fatigued and not okay. And I then said, and by this point, the ambulance, the paramedics who brought me in, they had already left, obviously, because they had other people to help and support. But at this point, I then said, I want to go home. I'm sure, you know, again, the paramedic said, I'm fine. I've just got a bit of anxiety. I'll be fine, you know. So I went to the reception desk and I said, I would like to go because I'm not feeling very well. And I think that I could just get a good night's sleep and I'll be fine. The receptionist said, well, we can't force you to stay. So if you want to go, you can go. So I was like, oh, well, all right. Clearly, I must be fine because, you know, everyone seems to be downplaying this. So I went and I thought, okay, I'm going to go. The paramedic beside me who had, and I didn't even know this, and again, if I ever find out who this paramedic is, I would give him a giant cuddle, because he looked at me and said, you're not going anywhere. You are not in any condition. I have seen you deteriorate ever since you came in. So he then, I believe, called for the superintendent of the hospital to then get me a bed. And at this point, I believe, and I could be wrong, my husband had been asked to leave at this point. Well, we're just prior to. So it all happened a little bit quickly from then on, thanks to this paramedic who had stepped in to support me. So I was taken and I was given an x-ray to make sure that I had not broken my neck or spine. How kind of them to give me an x-ray after letting me sit in a chair for 6 to 7 hours in a wheelchair to then check for that. But anyway, so that x-ray was all that occurred. And I had no broken spine, no broken neck. And I was given Endone and some other insane medication for pain. And then I was told, if you start feeling a little bit not yourself, you know, come back and see us. So it was, again, I thought, I'm perfectly fine. The medical professionals all around me, since the paramedics and now, you know, the specialist in the ER, are all telling me I'm perfectly fine, nothing has happened. Anyway, I then left and I was taking the Endone. And oh my goodness, if you have ever had Endone, oh my gosh. So I chose to stop taking it because it was great for the pain and horrendous for everything else. I didn't know who I was, where I was hallucinating, seeing things. It was like I was not even a part of this world. It was crazy. And I will go into, you know, the pain management at another point because that's a whole other episode. But so I went home and I seemed perfectly fine. And I was like, okay, right, I'm okay. They were, you know, just a bit of anxiety. I'll be fine. Just get some rest. Happy days. Now, keeping in mind at this point, my son was, I think, 3 years old. So I was running around like a mad person, being a parent and having a job. So it came to about the 2 week mark and my son was due to be in daycare. So I thought, great, this is my opportunity because I'm not feeling great. It's been 2 weeks and I'm not doing so well. And I used to ask people in this 2 week time frame between being discharged from hospital and coming home, I was asking a couple of people, you know, do you notice anything different? And for whatever reason, there were people just saying, oh, no, you're completely fine. And I think that it was, that didn't help. And I think people tell you things because they don't want to upset you and they don't want to make you scared. Because when I ask people, do you think I'm talking slow or slurring or being forgetful or whatever, they would, no, you're fine. Everyone was being, you're fine with me. I was not fine. So I had enough and I thought, I feel drunk constantly. This is not normal for me. I feel very odd. I feel disorientated. So I went to a doctor and this is the first time I ever met this particular doctor who is now my doctor forever. I will never leave her and I hope she never leaves me. But I went to the doctor and she said, to be honest, I don't know what your baseline was before, but if you say that you don't feel right, I'm assuming you don't feel right. So she arranged for a CT scan. And this amazing woman, GP, got that CT scan done that day and asked for urgent results back. So by, I think, within a couple of hours, I got the result. And she called me immediately and said, you've got a brain hemorrhage. And I was like, okay. And she said, your brain is bleeding. Now, when I was even speaking to That's Life magazine recently, I still can't, and perhaps if there's any listeners who can help identify what this could be, please let me know. But it wasn't delusion. I want to make that clear. I wasn't delusional. I wasn't grasping reality. I had no ability to grasp reality. So when my doctor had called me and said, you have a brain hemorrhage, she has told me that she said a whole lot more in that conversation and I just simply don't remember it. So she said, you need to go to hospital and get an MRI. So the first thought I had was, and I was on my way home, so I called my husband and I said, hey, I just want to, and this is, I'm not even kidding with you, this is how relaxed I was. I called my husband and I said, hey, so I'm just giving you an update because, again, even before the crash, I had very open communication with my husband because I think that is very, very important. I tell my husband everything because he's like my biggest advocate. So I called him and I said, hey, just letting you know, I've had the scan and they found a brain hemorrhage, but don't worry, it's perfectly fine. And I remember saying to him in this same conversation, the doctor said that I'm sort of at a high risk now of having an aneurysm. So I'm on my way home now and I'm just going to rest. That was how detached from reality I was. My cognitive brain, my critical thinking was just non-existent. I did not grasp at all the seriousness of what was happening. So, anyway, I called my husband, told him all of this. I could tell that he was confused, going, hold on, I don't understand. I'm like, no. And he always knows as well that when I say it's fine or I'm in control, he's like, okay, that's all right. Well, you've got it. So whatever. But he sounded really worried and I didn't understand why he was worried. And then so I called his best friend and I said, hey, I've just called Cole. Look, I've had a scan on my brain. I've got a brain hemorrhage. I'm at high risk of having an aneurysm. Everything's completely fine. Can you just check in with Cole? Because he sounds a bit worried. I'm just a little bit worried about him. So can you just keep checking in on him and make sure that he's okay? And he went, are you okay? And we're, yeah. I mean, it's only an aneurysm. It's a brain hemorrhage and high risk of it. It's no big deal. So I'm just going to go home and rest. Everything will be fine. And I'm going to explain to you in a second also why this all came about, why I was reacting the way that I was. So I went home and again, I seemed, apart from, you know, slurring speech and delayed and just acting a little bit odd, I was still moving around somewhat okay. And then all of a sudden, so I went to work. I'm no longer employed there for other reasons, but I went to work the next day and I had, in that 2-week period, I had made a mistake and management were not happy at all about this. And anyway, so they wouldn't even see me because that's the kind of management they were. They were just not the nicest or supportive. But anyway, moving on from that, I spoke to another manager who was amazing. And he was phenomenal. He was the operations manager at this venue, at this business. And he was one of my greatest, he's amazing. Anyway, so I had a meeting with him. And I just said, hey, look, they're not wanting to talk to me. I wanted to make you aware because you're also, you know, workplace health and safety. But I've had a brain hemorrhage. And again, I was completely nonchalant. I said, I've had a brain hemorrhage, but I'm perfectly fine. You know, they haven't said anything or said that there's any particular concerns. I missed that detail. They actually did, and I didn't process it very well. And he said, why are you here? And I went, because it's only a brain hemorrhage. I'll be totally fine. If, you know, I know the symptoms to look out for. If they happen, I'll leave. So I was essentially immediately told to go to the hospital. I couldn't return back to work until I had clearance. So I went to the GP. Again, didn't go to hospital, went to the GP, which was, again, very strange behaviour. And my GP looked like she had seen a ghost. And she said, why are you here? And I said, oh, I need to get clearance. And she went, I told you to go to the hospital. And I didn't get that information. Like, when she told me this, I didn't actually process that. So we'll fast forward a little bit. When I eventually got to hospital, when they did all the tests, essentially what had happened is this entire time, my body had been functioning off such high volumes of adrenaline that I was just, I was just functioning off adrenaline. And then the second that I was admitted to hospital, and they had admitted that there was no way that I should have been discharged from hospital with my injuries. I should have been in hospital as a I think it's called an inpatient. I can't remember. But I should have, in fact, been in hospital that entire time for rehabilitation testing and all the scans. But I was let go, and no one could really understand why that was. But here we are. So I was functioning off adrenaline. So my body was in just a complete freak mode, like fight or flight. And I was not processing anything at a healthy range, and that's why. So that is where we sort of left off, and I was in hospital, and that's when it all sort of became a huge reality of what my life was going to look like. Now, a part of that being, so that's the whole brain hemorrhage, and then there's the flow-on effect from that. So unfortunately, because my body had been in fight or flight mode for so long without being adequately treated, so essentially if I had stayed in hospital and possibly received the treatment that I should have received, and they'd done the CT scan and MRI scans then I probably would have been in a different situation, a beneficial situation, but that did not happen. And then whilst I was in hospital, I declined basically immediately. So my cognitive skills went to nothing. I almost within a 24-hour period lost my ability to speak, walk, eat, everything. And then the diagnosis was she's having a stroke. And that kind of my whole life just changed. So that was intense, and that is kind of that whole experience right there in not receiving, and even now as I talk about it, not receiving that support in hospital when I was first taken by ambulance or by paramedics, not having all of the testing done could have effectively prevented the stroke. Because the brain hemorrhage is one thing in itself, but then having a stroke was the thing that I guess ultimately destroyed my body. Because it was one thing after another. Like I said, I was unable to eat by myself. I remember doing an exercise in hospital. They were trying to understand my current brain activity. And I was drawing half a clock, half the numbers. I was not grasping my memory. They would give me animals to draw or numbers or just questions to answer. And I just wasn't able to do basic things. So that catches you up with the crash. And that is essentially that those beginning moments have sort of, I guess, catapulted me into really needing to mind my own wellness. And despite what I was being told, despite being told at that ambulance moment that I just had anxiety, despite being told that I was perfectly fine and just needed to rest, that was not the case. And that taught me that I need to listen to my gut, listen to my instinct, and if I think something's not right, speak up for myself. And that is now what I'm doing. And that is also why we have the Mind Your Own Wellness podcast, to help women speak up and to share their beautiful stories of survival, because there might just be one of you out there who needs it. Just remember that whatever trauma you have experienced, don't compare it to someone else's. It is valid. It is yours. And I will do everything in my power via this podcast to help you overcome that. Thank you so much for listening to episode 1. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you who have taken the time to hit the play button. And I will continue to share more of my journey and have more incredible people on the podcast as it evolves. So look after yourselves, mind your own wellness, and I will talk to you in episode 2. Much love and peace to you all.